All right, morning. For those of you that arrived after the introductions, I'm Summer Porter, and I'm with the University of Illinois Chicago, and I'm here to talk about a collaboration between UIC and Illinois WIC in improving child retention in the state of Illinois. I have no relationship to disclose, but I just want to recognize that this project has been funded through the Illinois Department of Health and Human Services. Just a brief outline. I'm going to outline my specific aims of the study and give a very brief overview of WIC. I won't belabor it since we've gone over what WIC is already in the last two presentations. And then I'll discuss the formative work that's informed an intervention plan to address the retention problem in the state of Illinois. So this formative work involves some qualitative interviews and focus groups that I'll talk about. And then I'm going to discuss an evaluation plan. So the specific aims of the study were to understand the barriers and facilitators to child retention in the state of Illinois. And we wanted to do this to inform the development of an intervention. We didn't just want to hit the ground running with an intervention. We might have ideas, but we wanted to inform this intervention through sound research by interviewing WIC staff, Head Start staff, and former and current caregivers in the WIC program. And finally, we wanted to provide an overview of program design, staff training, and an evaluation that can be disseminated statewide from this pilot program. And we have a goal that if this project works, this can serve as a model for WIC nationally, because retention is not a unique problem to Illinois. It's happening nationally. So I won't belabor this. We've heard what WIC is, but I just want to emphasize that WIC is the third largest nutrition assistance program in the United States, behind SNAP and school lunch. And it serves half of all infants, as we've heard, and a fourth of all children in the U.S. So a half of all the infants, and then a fourth, that's a lot, fourth of all children. But what happens? Why did it go from half to a fourth? So I want to now talk a little bit about why WIC works. And the positive health outcomes associated with child participation in the WIC program. So WIC, there's been a lot of studies on child health in WIC, and a lot of them are diet-related. So we've seen that children that participate in WIC have better quality diets, they have improved intakes of good things like fruits and vegetables, whole grains, certain micronutrients, and we can see that there's also a linkage between obesity reduction among WIC children, and then I'll cite you next time I give this talk. Other positive health outcomes that are associated with child participation in WIC involve a decreased risk of food insecurity. We just heard about that. Reduced risk of child abuse and neglect, increased immunization rates, improved access to health care and social services through those health care referrals that WIC offers, and then also an increased cognitive development. So all kinds of positive health outcomes associated with child participation in WIC. So the reach of WIC is quite large. There's an average monthly caseload of 9.2 million participants nationally. So about 23% pregnant women, 23% infants, and the remainder being children. And that number can be higher, because that's children aged 1 to 5. That's why they're the largest group. California has the largest caseload, followed by Texas. And Illinois, for your information, it has about the 7th largest caseload. So what's the problem? So despite all these positive health outcomes associated with child retention in WIC, there's a problem. Children are leaving the program before their eligibility expires. So this is bad. So there's this window of time we found through research between 7 and 12 months that children are dropping from the program. We want to figure out why that is. So we conducted some formative research through qualitative interviews and focus groups at four different pilot agencies throughout the state of Illinois, as well as Head Start agencies. So we interviewed current and former WIC caregivers, as well as WIC staff and Head Start staff. So we interviewed Head Start staff because they might have a unique perspective on this problem, because they serve a similar clientele to the WIC staff. So they might have things to say that we might not hear from the WIC staff. But all in all, we interviewed and conducted focus groups with 127 participants. And we found that we found out some barriers and facilitators to why kids might leave the WIC program and why they might stay. And so after doing the coding and analysis of these interviews, these themes emerged. So this is the barrier slide. And we came out with a lot of data, but I'm going to try to make it succinct in this one slide for time. So the barriers surfaced at multiple different levels, at the individual level, at the clinic level, at the vendor level, where they redeem those vouchers for WIC foods at the grocery stores, at the WIC food centers, and then more globally within the community. So at the individual level, there was a barrier with a lower perceived value of the WIC food package. And this would really depend on the WIC family, but depending on how they perceive those food benefits, if they like milk, if they like the beans or the fruits and vegetables, the higher or lower perceived food value would influence whether they left the program or not. A lot of these participants have hectic or busy lifestyles. These participants might have multiple jobs. They might be looking for work. Especially after that child turns one, mom might go back to work or go back to multiple jobs. And this is it might be cumbersome for her to get the child out of care, leave work, and manage the household schedule to keep the child in the WIC program. And then this access to other food benefits popped up in the staff interviews primarily. So the staff was mentioning that access to SNAP benefits, SNAP is a good thing, but access to these benefits might overshadow the benefits of WIC because SNAP is a less restrictive program and they don't have to come in and sit with a nutritionist and go through nutrition education and get their finger pricked and things like that, their baby's finger pricked and things like that. It's just an easier program for the participants to use in terms of that. Issues at the clinic that emerged turned out to be difficulty scheduling and rescheduling appointments. At a certain clinic, they found it very difficult to get a hold of someone on the phone if they needed to reschedule the appointment. Oftentimes, these appointments are made 3 months in advance, and they don't know their work schedule yet. And then if they want to reschedule, they're doing all they can to get in. If they can't get somebody on the phone, this is a problem. Long wait times were a problem. Paperwork seemed to be an issue for people wanting to stay in the program. So there was the clients reported an emphasis on all of these forms and checks and balances with paperwork, getting the paperwork from their doctor, et cetera, and this was overshadowing the nutrition services that they were seeking to get help. An unwelcome clinic environment came up in some of the interviews. So certain clinics had some restrictive signage, like no cell phones, no eating, restrain your child. So these were there's a kind of stigmatizing signs of the nutrition assistance program where you might have a hungry toddler, or you might have to make a phone call to work because you've been waiting for a while, but you can't use your cell phone, you can't eat. So this is a barrier to staying in the program. And some clients did perceive staff judgment. They perceived that some of the questions they asked were a little nosy, and others just perceived that they might have been rushed through their clinic visit when they've been waiting for so long. Other issues that emerged at the vendor level where the grocery shopping takes place would be difficulty using the food instruments. So in the state of Illinois, we haven't switched over to an EBT card, like a credit card. We still have these paper vouchers. So you have to look at the paper voucher and find the correct foods, match the sizes, the correct brand. It has to be the lowest cost brand. So that's difficult. And then if they have a negative interaction with the cashier might not be trained, or if a wrong item was brought up, there might be some difficulty there. And then they might feel stigmatized by other customers if the line is being held up, if the cashier isn't ringing them up quite fast. So they're very aware of this, and if this is a barrier for some people staying on, it's not worth it to them if they're going to be stigmatized at the store for seeking services to do the best for their child. Other larger level barriers was a general lack of awareness about WIC eligibility. So some clients that we interviewed weren't aware that they could keep their child on the program until 5 years old. Other issues came up like transportation, both at the urban and the rural sites. So within the urban sites, clients might have to take a bus to a train to get to the WIC clinic, and then transportation issues in terms of getting the food and your child onto a crowded bus is very heavy, because you have to read with the food vouchers, there's not a lot of partial redemption yet in the state of Illinois. You have to get all those gallons of milk and your baby on the bus. In the rural areas, sometimes clients were very far from their WIC site, so they might have to fill up a tank of gas to get to and from the WIC clinic, which can eliminate the cost that they were trying to save with the foods that they're seeking. And then unsupported physicians came up in some of the interviews, where clients reported that the paperwork was cumbersome for the physician and they were a little bit discouraged from seeking that, and some physicians weren't aware of the positive benefits of WIC. We heard from staff members that we interviewed. And then general unavailability of food items in certain areas on their WIC voucher. So those are the barriers to keeping kids in WIC that we heard. And now I'm going to talk about, this is the good news. This is what keeps families in the program. This is what we heard from the clients and staff. So friendly or helpful WIC staff is a facilitator to keeping people on. So this is mentioned by the caregivers themselves, that they see that smiling face, somebody who connects with them. It's like, oh, I love this clerk. Like, she really gets me. That keeps them in. They come back just for Sally. Like, that's huge. So it's somebody who has an empathetic ear really makes a difference. Others mentioned just this theme of saving money. So it really expands the family food budget. So for those that are eligible for SNAP and WIC, some mentioned that SNAP is never enough. WIC helps them get through the month, even if they do receive those SNAP benefits. And then for those who fall into that income bracket, that window where they don't qualify for SNAP, but they qualify for WIC, where WIC is the only help that they get, and they're a working family, and they really need the help. The fruit and vegetable vouchers were very popular. Integrated services tended to be a facilitator at some sites. And what I mean by this is that some WIC clinics are in a Department of Health where it's a one-stop shop for your child's immunizations, their dental care, and their WIC appointment, so they can get it all done in one. And then in Chicago, we have a unique situation where there is a program that has developed these food centers that carries only WIC foods, and they're usually attached to a WIC clinic, so you can have your appointment, get your vouchers, and then you can go shopping. So integrated services really do help. Appointment reminders were helpful. And then on the flip side, a welcoming clinic environment that's fun, where there's like a little tykes playground and the kids don't want to leave sometimes, is a facilitator for getting them to stay, so the parents don't have to entertain while they're waiting. And then unsurprisingly, if the nutrition education sessions are non-redundant and entertaining and there's cooking lessons, things like that, they're interesting to the client who might have had multiple children in WIC, and this might be her third time coming to a nutrition education session for that particular age child. She wants to hear something different and new. This could keep caregivers enrolled. So using that formative data, those barriers and facilitators, all that stuff that we heard, we wanted to develop an intervention to keep kids in the WIC program. So we developed this program called WIC to Five, and we can see our little logo up here, and there we have these five reasons to stay in WIC, and this came directly from those interviews. So we heard that it nourishes children, it connects families to other services, helps their child grow, helps them save money, and it helps them learn through that nutrition education. So what this intervention is a targeted and tailored messaging and education that will be piloted, it is being piloted, at those four sites, those four same sites that we conducted those formative interviews. This involved education modules. We've developed brochures, colorful clinic posters with actual quotes from clients right on there. We have participant incentives with the logo on there, canvas shopping bags, things like that. And then we've developed a staff script called Take Five for WIC to Five. So it takes 5 minutes to go over the benefits of WIC, asking the clients, did you know that your child could stay until five? What's your intention to stay? They have questions that they ask them that the client answers, and they input that data into Cornerstone, or the WIC data management system. And this is tested in normal practice at these four sites. So it's actually going on right now. It only takes 5 minutes. We also have a staff empowerment little section of this program to address the staff wellness. So we have a logo that goes with that, just because these staff can be stressed themselves, and they only have 15 minutes with these clients, and they don't. Sometimes it's very hectic, and they're very aware of the waiting problem and things like that. So we have developed a staff worksite wellness program for them with its own logo. So we have staff incentives as well as the participant incentives. And we just want to generally raise client awareness of WIC eligibility, how long they can stay in WIC, and what the benefits are of WIC. So I talked about all those benefits in the beginning. We want to emphasize those and really sell the benefits of WIC. And this, we'll do this to increase the image and the understanding of WIC throughout the community, as well as among those healthcare providers that might not know about those benefits of WIC. Eventually, we want to provide outreach and provide training for vendors as well, so the grocery store clerks and cashiers. So this intervention is theory-driven. It's driven by the theory of planned behavior. And so what we want to measure is this behavior, this intention to stay in WIC. This is the behavior. And all of the things that might influence that behavior are circled up here. So we have those attitudes and beliefs about staying in WIC. Social support is a component of the theory of planned behavior. So whether your doctor supports you, your partner, your community, whether you receive stigma or not in that community, whether WIC is accepted is important. And then those barriers or facilitators that we heard to stay in. And the way we'll measure this intention to stay in would be whether the clients recertify, if they pick up those food instruments, if they've missed appointments, or if they redeem those food vouchers. And that data can be collected through the state of Illinois. So how we address this through this theory, so those attitudes and beliefs can be addressed through that targeted communication to clients, so influencing their attitude, their beliefs around WIC through those posters and brochures and that Take 5 for WIC to 5 messaging from the staff. And then for the social support component, we're planning on doing community outreach and developing strategic partnerships with the physicians and child care providers. And then to address the facilitators and barriers, we are developing a shopping education module. We're planning on vendor outreach. And then we've also included those staff incentives and wellness to address that perceived staff judgment and things like that. And that will then, we hope, increase the intention to stay in WIC and thereby influence the behavior. So we intend to evaluate this program through this evaluation plan that we have. So we're planning on launching our evaluation plan soon. We have a longitudinal survey for the WIC participants at these four sites, as well as control sites that have been matched by the caseload and the type of clientele, so whether it's a rural or an urban site. And we plan on recruiting 30 mother-child dyads from each site. And this survey will include things like demographics, household characteristics, of course, and then we have those theory of planned behavior questions to assess the attitudes, beliefs, their social norms or control beliefs surrounding their intention to stay in the program. Other modifiers that we are including, things like food insecurity that might influence whether or not they stay in WIC, infant feeding practices, their stress levels, their perceived value of the food packages, all those different foods, their household organization, and then the hardship questions will be involved, as well as some process evaluation questions. And we intend to match these questions on this longitudinal survey that's going to be given at different points, so it's 6 months, and then a year, 18 months. We hope to follow them as long as we can, if we receive funding for that. And we want to match this longitudinal data with the survey responses that are currently being inputted into a program called Cornerstone, which is the administrative data that the WIC nutritionist inputs with those clients when she asks whether they intend to stay in the program or what keeps them in the program. We're also going to conduct an empowerment survey for the WIC staff, whether or not the Worksite Wellness Program is working. And then we're developing a community outreach evaluation as well once we conduct those physician focus groups and assess the activities and brochures that we've made for the community partners that we have. So we've met with the staff that has this. So this intervention is ongoing right now. The posters are up. The Worksite Wellness is going on, and the Take Five for WIC to Five staff script. This is going on in normal practice. So what we've heard from the staff is when they ask whether the client knows that the child is eligible to the age of five, they're finding that before they're really missing the message, even though it's come up during certifications or family case management or during closing visits. Even though this message has come up, they've been telling them when the client has all this nutrition education messaging coming at them, this can really slip out the door. So just another re-emphasis of this can really help. So the staff telling them that they can stay until five really has helped. People had been misunderstanding the value of the food package. So within the intervention, we have a flip book with the food illustrations on here, and they're emphasizing the value of the food package. And they're finding that participants are receptive to these messages. It only takes 5 minutes, and they're not itching to leave the session or anything like that. It's shown positive results so far, anecdotally. I just want to acknowledge everyone that had a hand in this project. It's been going on for a while. We've had all that formative stuff going on. I want to acknowledge the PI who's here, Dr. Angela Odoms-Young, everyone at Illinois WIC who's helped, our anthropologist Molly and our project coordinator Carrie Ann, and then the WIC staff and Head Start staff have been a great help in lining up these clients that we interview, and then we've had a lot of dietetic interns and student volunteers that have helped us with the education and modules and things like that. And I'd be happy to take any questions.
At this point, we'll open it up to questions, and I'll ask the speakers to come, because this is a recorded session. They need to hear your responses, and I'll repeat the questions so they hear it in the recording as well. Please, back there. The question is about the priority system and the fact that in some states the lower priorities being the older children were not being encouraged to continue in WIC. In my experience, even sometimes the caseloads were such that you could not continue to certify because of restraints in funding, but that changes over time. So would you like to address that, please?
I had heard that, and that had come up before. My experience in WIC is not that long, but and any of you can correct me if I'm wrong, but as far as I know, the retention of children is a problem now, and caseloads are low in some areas, and so we're trying to address that now. And to my knowledge, and correct me if I'm wrong if anyone's heard of this recently, children have not been turned away in recent years because we want to keep them on because we're seeing all those positive benefits of WIC. I was just going to add that I know that there are states who are not
at this point using all the money that has been allocated to them as well. And when they don't use that entire pool, it goes back. So I think that that might be, you know, really emphasizing efforts to really retain now that we have the funding to do so.
So it would appear that the caseloads are such that all priorities are being served in most states at this point. Question here in the middle. For our first presenter, why only 3 to 5-year-olds were looked at?
Thanks for your question. So the reason we looked at only 3 and 4-year-old is because we wanted children who were on the program for at least 3 years after the revision. Okay.
In the back. So the question is retention of study participants.
So we haven't started yet, but we plan to stock them. No, but Dr. O, you can probably address that.
She's more eloquent than I am.
Gentleman in the back.
This is a question for Dr. Palela. Thank you for sharing the impact evaluation using the PIA-HEV data. I work in Los Angeles with Latinos, and so I was concerned to see relatively lack of impact, lack of obesity reduction in the Latinos compared to the other groups. I wonder if you would speculate why it is that the Asians and whites seem to more responsive, and the blacks intermediate, and the Latinos almost not at all.
Thanks. Good to see you, Dr. McCarthy. So obesity, yes, we saw that with the overweight rates. With the obesity rate, though, it was the decline was more. Well, the one thing I can think of is that to start with, obesity rate were higher than overweight rate. So overweight rate weren't that high as obesity rate. Dr. Whaley, do you have any?
Okay. We can spend all day on it still. Burden is so very much higher
So the call to action is for more researchers to look at some of the differences between ethnic groups and the changes in weight. Back over here, Sue. The question is about the impact of nutrition education on the food insecurity rates.
I would love to, if you have state level aggregate data available. I think that it would be very easy to do 2, 3, 4 questions on food insecurity and collect it systematically through WIC, and then we could be including things like that. I would love to include that, but there just wasn't data supporting it. Yeah, oh, I completely agree with you.
State by state.
Well, then maybe we should all get together and rally.
Very good. Over here on the right. So the question is about the reduction in obesity in general population versus the WIC population during the same time frame.
Okay, thanks for your question. No, we didn't. Actually, we just looked at the rates among our population, but we'd love to, if you have any data set that we can compare, we'd love to, work together or look at it, because we need a control group. We need a group that has, similar characteristic, but is not on WIC, and to be able to see if this, decline was also, did happen in other, or not, to be able to isolate the effect of the food package. So, thanks.
Okay, in the middle here. Question regarding the Head Start staff participation in our third program.
As far as unique things that the Head Start staff had mentioned, they're really advocates for the clients that had left the program and that were currently enrolled. Some of them were asking questions about what WIC was. So that was interesting to me, and that wasn't every Head Start staff member, but what came out in that sense was how we could really align these programs and partner with them. And so we do intend on involving child care providers in our intervention through that community outreach, and the plans are underway right now.